hey, if you're of the misimpression that that there's anything in this movie worth spoiling, there are spoilers here.
There's no way that we're not going to sit here for an hour and a half and goof on this movie. And to do that, we're going to have to quote in quote
spoil
things for you. But I got to be honest with you.
Such a thing can happen with this
movie. I got to be honest with you. They're like, you know,
I know people are particular
about their spoilers and shit, but I got to tell you, I cannot imagine a reasonable person being spoiled by anything we're going to talk about here.
I think, you know what, one of the things I think we should do?
This movie, there's nothing to, I mean, it's spoiled. It's just ruined.
There's a lot to talk about with this movie, clearly.
Yeah.
I think the first thing we should do, just to get out of the way, is to address the people that inevitably go, and because I always see this when we do reactions, or you guys did it with the joke or whatever, you know, even if it's positive or negative, whatever, but usually when it tends to be negative, is that, oh, you didn't want to like the movie. You wouldn't go into the movie. It's going to suck and you're going to hate it.
All right, before this movie...
Like, I want Star Wars to be a fucking great series of films. Yeah. I want to go there and watch it and enjoy it. So I don't want those people to come and say, we're critical of this, that, like, we just came in to go,
Before I even sat down and watched this movie, I wanted to like this movie, not just because I wanted another good Star Wars movie, but also because I'm a contrarian asshole. And I saw the writing on the wall early on. The critics were not feeling it. The woke SJW-type Star Wars fans were not feeling it. The anti-woke, anti-SJW Star Wars fans were not feeling it. So it was just like around the board, it seemed like people were not digging it. So I was like, man, I would love to go into this movie and be like, you know what? Fuck all y'all. It's actually pretty good.
I mean, I'm a contrarian too.
I can't bring myself to do it because it's so fucking bad.
I was not driven by my sense of contrarianism going in last night. I really, to the best of my fucking ability. Now, I'll be honest with you. I knew I was going to hate this movie. I mean, there was a part of me that going in knew that I wasn't going to get a satisfying ending to the saga, that I wasn't going to get a movie that stood out from the previous two in any good way. But I was open-minded to it. My mind, literally, when it started, it went into this mode where it's like, okay, I'm willing to set aside
my
disbelief.
Win me over.
Give it to me. And this movie never did. It just never did.
Did you feel like I felt, like occasionally, like maybe like 5 or 6 times during the movie, I would feel myself just start to get sucked in a little bit?
Yes.
And I was like, okay, this is actually promising. This might actually be something kind of cool. And then it was like every time, like after like just starting to get me into the movie a little bit, something would happen that was just so fucking stupid, ridiculous, insulting, awful, that I would just immediately just, fuck me, I shouldn't have trusted this movie.
Yeah. I found personally, and I don't know if we liked the same moments, but personally, a lot of the moments that I had like that had to do with setting and set design and them bringing back something from the original trilogy to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would introduce something like that.
Yeah, you know,
like I was like, okay, Death Star crashed on an ocean planet.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Okay, planet for smugglers and drug dealers and shit. Okay, desert planet. Okay, on the deck and in the hallways of a Star Destroyer. You know what I mean? Like, it was like that. I would have those moments of like, oh, this is Star. It's kind of Star Warsy, and then the action and dialogue that happens in those places would happen. And immediately all that magic was gone in favor of just focusing on characters. I've been given no reason to care about any of the people that you see on the screen here in this poster.
Yeah. So I want to say, and I have long been a defender of this trilogy, not in a general sense, not that it's good, but a defender in the sense that I've always said, you know, at least I do think they're better than the prequels. And I have to take it back. I really do. Because as bad as the prequels are, and I still think they're awful movies, I still think their vision is totally wrong. I still think the execution of that vision was terrible. But God damn it, at least there was a coherent fucking vision from start to finish in the fucking prequels. At least George Lucas knew what he wanted to do and did it in 3 movies. and it has a sense of continuity and overarching narrative.
The pacing
this
of these,
thing is a fucking mess.
The pacing of these three movies is just, it's so erratic. They don't, none of them, like, none of the puzzle pieces fit together. You know, it's kind of like you're trying to put a puzzle together, and it's like you're missing pieces, and they don't fit, and you're just trying to make things work. And
well, let me ask you guys this. Let me ask you guys this.
Go ahead.
One of the most important things for me in any movie, not just a Star Wars movie, any movie I'm watching, is I really like the show don't tell principle.
Oh God,
yeah. I love when something is expository information is given to me, but not through direct dialogue between two characters.
I agree.
Showing how a person lives, by showing how they interact with other people, I make inferences. Is there a moment of that in this movie?
No. I'm going to tell you what. I said this to Galen last night when we were talking about it. Because I was texting back and forth with Galen because he's refusing to see it wisely, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I would never encourage anybody to see it.
I told him, there's so little visual storytelling in this movie that it might as well be an audiobook. And not a good audiobook, like a fucking Brett Keane audiobook or some shit. Like, it is awful. There's not a second. Every fucking plot detail is handled not by showing you, but by explaining to you.
Through dialogue between usually two characters.
Yeah, through bad dialogue where characters are basically breaking the fourth wall almost to just convey information to the audience. Where they're saying things that don't even make sense in the scene just to convey the information in a haphazard, slapdash way to the people sitting in the theater watching it.
And what an unoriginal plot, you know, and the plot devices of, you need the dagger, you need the wayfinder, you need this object, you need this shiny object, and you need to get this shiny object to get this shiny object.
It just fed the ADHD kind of feeling that this movie had about ever allowing you to get comfortable in a scene or to establish a connection with one of the, quite frankly, beautifully designed locales in
the movie. Let me ask you a question related to that, Paul.
Okay.
Have you seen a mainstream blockbuster movie with worse pacing than this fucking movie?
I mean, it's... I wrote on Twitter last night my review of this film, which is one word, lazy. And that's, to me, the ultimate fucking sign of laziness. Lazy script writing, lazy directing, lazy editing, lazy conceptualization. Just it permeates every aspect of this movie. There are moments in this movie that could have been better, and I know I'm not some kind of fucking cinematic genius. If they would have shown something rather than told me about it, if they would have lingered a little longer on one of these planets or given some backstory to it or some context to it that made me connect with it. If, you know, it's just the endless litany of if they'd done this and if they'd done this. So to me, that's a sign of just lazy ass, slapdash, let's just convey a bunch of fucking information through dialogue and throw a bunch of spectacle action scenes at people.
Well, looking about the original Star Wars trilogy, it's you have all these memorable characters, and it's not, the story doesn't get in the way of the characters in the sense that, like, You're not focused on, the background and this. Like, yeah, the special effects and all that are good. And what you're saying is the spectacle is there with this, but the characters are not. The characters were so underdeveloped. There's no, like, you don't care about them. You're just like Rey is paper thin. Her entire arc becomes her tragic background. And what's the mystery of what's Rey, who are Rey's parents? That's all her arc ever ends up being.
And yeah, you don't under, but like,
and she's the main character.
To talk about paper thin characters, though, if we look here at this fucking poster, you'll see one that kind of intrigued me when I saw this poster before I saw the movie. It's like a bounty hunter looking chick.
Yeah,
you see her with the two guns over there on the right. Looks kind of cool design wise. I was like, oh, new bounty hunter, cool. It's not. It's literally just a friend of Poe's who exists. I don't even know why she exists.
To give him that fucking little thing.
I'll tell you why she exists. Toys.
Yeah.
To sell toys of her. Because literally she does nothing. She
gives him that chip to get on the ship. You
could have excised her from the plot, and all they would have had to do was find that fucking chip somewhere else.
Yep. It was another thing in this movie. Just get shiny object to get into place.
Right.
That's all it was. This movie does it so many times. Shiny object to get into place. And not committing to decisions. Like, Paul, remember we were talking about last night in front of the theater how, like, the Chewbacca scene, where there's the Chewbacca death fake out, where it's all like, like Kylo Ren and Rey are battling with force powers, like, I'm going to hold the transport ship. No, I'm going to hold the transport ship. And then so Rey has a little bit of the dark side come out of her and blows up the transport ship. And it's like, Chewbacca, no!
Yeah, she thinks she kills Chewie. And then the way that they explain Chewie not being dead is, oh, he was put on another transport ship that never shows in any of the fucking scenes that we can see. They're out on a desert, so I don't know where it was or how Chewie got into it.
Well, you know what my theory is? Is they did that, and the test audience, whoever, was like, that's a horrible decision, so then it was just shoddily, oh, well, you know what, never mind.
It was the one time in the movie when I was like, whoa, that's actually kind of ballsy. Like,
Chewbacca's dead.
They had her lose control of her power and kill fucking Chewie on accident?
They don't even let it linger, either.
Right. But I mean,
it's
I
like the next scene after Chewbacca blows
up.
It's
like, oh, he's alive.
It's like Chewbacca being led around in a fucking Imperial Star Destroyer.
I know, dude. And you're right.
You're like, what?
Yeah, they don't even keep the fake out going long enough for it to have impact. And so why'd they even do it?
Well, the initial thing of it is impact. You're like, Chewbacca's fucking dead.
Like,
not Chewbacca.
Like, Rey, the hero of the movie, accidentally fucking kills Chewbacca in a moment of like, wouldn't that make her? I mean, it was like the first time I was like, whoa. Character development for Rey. Holy shit. It only took him three movies. Nope. Undone
wrong.
In a fucking second.
Wrong.
Because this
wrong.
Movie has no balls. Let me just go back. Can I go back just really briefly to some set design, kind of pacing shit? Because there's a scene and it drives me nuts and I have to get it fucking out there. There's this upside down pyramid on the planet. What is it called?
Exegol.
Exegol. Whatever
the home,
fuck.
The home world of the Sith.
The home world of the Sith. There's this crazy upside-down pyramid that looks cool, and it's, like, black, and it's, like, on a horrible, scarred,
dude, it's on like
desolate
the,
world.
It's on, like, the strobe planet. There's no fucking light. Yeah. It's just everything's like a strobe.
Right, it's fucking wild, and it's great. It looks great.
Monolithic statues of the Sith.
Do you have any? They hold on it for, like, 2 seconds.
What you see in the trailer?
Yeah, that's
when
what
we
you
saw
see.
That, that's what's in the movie.
Right.
That's what you get of that set piece.
Here's this scene, this establishing shot that is just begging to be held on, to give you a moment to soak up the monolithic fucking grandeur of this structure and have some reverence and have some awe and have some atmosphere. And they fucking treat it like it's the most prosaic, like, here's where it's taking place, next.
Well, they didn't have time.
Next.
If you think about it, they didn't have time to let that scene breathe because they had so much exposition to get out of the way with this convoluted fucking nonsensical plot that I don't know why they married themselves to this plot. I can think off the top of my fucking head.
Because Ryan,
better ways to wrap this up that wouldn't have been as convoluted.
Because Rian Johnson, who they hired to do not The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, fucking fumbled so badly with that movie that the studio was like, well, how can we kind of salvage this? Like, they clearly did not want to use Rose in this movie. The studio just felt pressured to do that because I don't think they wanted to get the PC backlash.
Dude, the fact that they are she's even on this poster is a joke. Rose has been pretty much fucking excised like a tumor out of this film. There's only a little bit of her left, and it's just she's a nothing character.
Is she even on this poster? I didn't even see her.
She is. She's right next to fucking 3PO.
Oh, okay.
See her crouched down there, the tiniest thing, almost as small as fucking R2-D2.
Dude, we got to talk about Billy Dee. We got to talk about Lando, man.
Billy Dee Williams should retire.
I love him as Lando Calrissian in the original trilogy.
Great.
He's great. He's got that bravado. He's got that just like that charm. God, it's gone.
He literally
he's old man.
He literally
I don't know.
Like his role feels like it's just Billy Dee Williams being happy to be there. He's like, hey everybody, Chewie, buddy. Leia, long time no see.
You know what? I'll give him though. He at least seemed happy. No one else in this fucking movie does.
I know, but it's just like that's all he does in this movie is he's just happy to be back around again.
Yeah, like
it's
man,
like,
I'm getting
I get to play Lando again. It's me.
There was no hint of like
the
scoundrel kind of nature of Lando Calrissian. He just like comes across like your nice old granddad.
Yeah,
you know.
Another guy on the poster here, Poe. I mean, like.
Talk about a character, like, in the first movie, he's basically nothing.
Right.
In the second movie, he's basically, like, the poor man's Han Solo.
Yep.
in the
which
third,
is what he is in this one.
In the third movie, they kind of continue that, but I mean, he never stuck. He never landed.
I will forget his name. In about 2 weeks, I will refer to him as the cut-rate Han Solo from the fucking
sequels. Yeah, I mean, look, until I saw this movie, I didn't remember that his name was Poe. Someone even said, you know, I was like, I remembered Finn, I remembered Rey, but I couldn't even remember that dude's name. I couldn't remember it was Poe.
Yeah, I will forget
his
name.
So by the time, you know, in a few weeks, I'll be in the same boat as you where I won't even remember his name.
And what about the scene, oh God, dude, so remember the chase on the desert planet where it's like they do the horrible, they can fly! They can fly, they can fly, they can fly, they can fly.
Yeah, they fly now.
Yeah, the storm.
They fly now.
Which never
they
comes back
now.
Into play. The stormtroopers never decide to do that again for some reason.
No, it's just an action set piece to make it more CG. I don't know, dude. It was
just
bad.
Even their action set pieces, though, just felt so rushed.
They did.
Like, it just felt like that scene could have been cool. But it wasn't, because it was just handled with, like, this ADHD sort of fucking editing sensibility of, like, we just got to get through this.
Well, that because they didn't have time, because there's so much expository information to get out. So many little two-person conversations that advance the plot line.
Cut this useless subplot about her needing to get the weird navigation pyramid to get to the, like, just cut all that. And find something, like, use a simpler fucking plot and actually spend some time to develop some of these scenes and shit.
And remember that, after that chase is done, they defeat the stormtroopers, they fall into, like, the quicksand, they go down, and we get raises, dude. We get remember they have the fucking, like, little snake or worm, whatever the fuck it is?
Mm.
Then she just walks up to it. No. Lo, Rey came into the pit of the Sarlacc, wherever the fuck it is, and she touched it, and it was healed. And they're just like, they explain the way she heals him. Or the little snake, and it's like, I transferred my force energy and my life force to the snake.
Well, the problem is she has to say that. You know what I mean?
But when was that established?
We're not just allowed to fucking... So that it's an example of them using expository dialogue that wasn't even really needed.
Well,
you can see, it's a movie.
We're 9 movies in at this point to a 9-part saga. Like, even if you consider nothing else canon but the fucking movies... This is the 9th fucking movie. It's never been goddamn established anywhere in the previous films that Jedi had healing powers. It's never been established that it's possible to grab something from a great distance using the Force, which happens in this movie a few times. Like, none of the all of a sudden, at the very end of the fucking franchise, there's all of these new abilities that are just shoehorned into the plot that it's like, you can't introduce shit at this late of an hour and just be like, yeah, this is a thing. Just don't worry about it. It's all
good. This is a new power, and this is a new power, and this is a new thing that you didn't know existed. And the movie is filled with that. It's the characters are like that. This bounty hunter chick, the chick riding the stupid fucking shaggy tusked horse thing. She's not even like a diversity booster in the film. She's barely there. She doesn't exist as a character. You don't know anything about her other than she's a badass chick with a fro that, you know what I mean, rides, she can ride a horse.
Yep.
That's what you're given about her. That's her character.
Possibly she's Lando Calrissian's daughter, maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe at the end. You get a little sprinkle of that, and you get this another long expository conversation between her and Finn, where he's like, I was a stormtrooper, and she's like, so was I.
I mean,
it's like, thank you. That gives, okay, now
so
I know a lot about
her. We have a
her.
Giant cast of forgettable heroes, but what about the villains, TJ? We got Kylo Ren and the return of the Emperor. Because the movie, the crawl, the first thing, the dead speak. The voice of Emperor Palpatine is heard throughout the galaxy.
Kylo Ren, at least he has an arc in this movie, which is more than I can say for most of the characters.
Yeah, that's true. So he does at least change.
He at least
somewhat.
Has a character arc. It's not particularly well done. He probably is given the most speaking time of any character in the fucking movie. Strangely enough.
Rey gets a lot of...
They let him go
gets
on...
to chew the fucking fat off.
They let him go on a lot of these, like, long, come-to-the-dark-side kind of rants that are all basically identical to one another. And yet again, another instance of why was this movie such a rushed pace? What, couldn't you have cut maybe one of these fucking 10 goddamn dark-side speeches the motherfucker gives in the movie? You know, I mean, he does it, and they're basically copy-paste versions of one another. I can't remember a single good line from any of them.
What do you think of the Emperor's return?
Visually, he looked cool. They made his voice look cool.
They
made his voice.
They had a really
cool
design for him where he was hooked to that machine.
Yeah,
I
like
the
big.
Cool.
I like the big machine that he was. That kind of like was suspending him.
They
kind of
made him
shit.
Almost like a fucking Voldemort, dude.
Yeah, he definitely was giving off some strong ass Voldemort vibes.
And Sauron too, because like remember when they finally end up defeating him? I know it's kind of jumping around, but it's like all the other Sith just kind of get like Sauron, where they're just as soon as you kill the fucking head, they're all just they're dead.
I thought that you know, I've always enjoyed Ian McDermott's interpretation of the character throughout the fucking movies, even in the prequels where I thought the direction was bad. I thought he was good. But
I mean, even the Emperor can't save this.
He couldn't
movie.
Be more. I mean, like I get it. The Emperor is kind of a generic villain, but I feel like there was always something a little bit more to him in the previous films, and here there's really not. He's just kind of like, I'm evil. I'm the Emperor. What do you want?
There's not enough of him.
Yeah, I mean, like
there's just straight up for him to be the penultimate or the ultimate fucking evil.
Yeah, that's
behind everything.
Apparently he's, controlled everything from the start.
What you get of him is satisfying because, once again, it's a character that at least has remained, has a consistent arc throughout all the movies if you just pull it out. You know what I mean? Other than the fact that, did you guys get how it was explained that he escaped the destruction
of
the Death Star?
It was just a vague allusion to maybe he was like some kind of cloning shit.
Before.
And, you know, he's like, yeah, I die all the time. No big deal. Which kind of makes me think, like, why is it even a big deal they killed him now? Like, how do we know he's really dead this time? You know, is he going to come back again? I'm back again.
Because it was the final battle, TJ, at the Sith homeworld, dude. It was the final battle.
So getting into that final battle shit, it was kind of, there was this thing where apparently the whole time he was trying to get Rey to come to Exegol or whatever the fuck. Because
what's the big reveal of the movie?
Yeah,
It's like a callback to, you know, the previous movie. Strike me down with your hate. You know, he wants.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get it. He said, but he
wants to turn her.
Yeah, and she's by
and
the way, his granddaughter. That's the big reveal.
It's Return of the Jedi all over again. It's the throne room scene.
Right, but the thing about it is, he tells her like, "You strike me down, I'm gonna." Me, my soul, and the soul of every other Sith is going to, like, invade your body, and you're going to be the new Empress Palpatine of the galaxy. And, you know, that's the whole conceit is like, well, what's she going to do now? She can't strike him down because then he wins. But if she doesn't do anything, then he still wins.
Well, then everyone in the rebellion fighting against the Empire is going to die.
Yeah, so then 10 minutes later, she strikes him down, and nothing happens. So what changed? Well, I don't get it. There was never any explanation of like that doesn't apply now.
Well, we didn't mention that the big reveal of the movie is that she is Rey Palpatine.
Ah! Palpatine's granddaughter.
It was super heavily telegraphed. I knew it way before they fucking exposed it. Just the Force lightning use alone in the early part of the movie.
It's like, okay, you know, she's related to Palpatine.
That's the secret name that, you know, whatever. Okay.
Right. And then they made a big deal of her not having a last name. So, you know, like, okay.
Who's she connected to? And it just like they really tell you pretty early in the movie what it is. And it's just used as another plot device that doesn't really go anywhere.
Right. And there's not, I mean, like there's no point. I mean, basically, the only thing is to make it her temptation by the dark side more like, oh, okay. Because there's no actual familial relationship between them. There's
yeah,
no,
what
like,
temptation?
Yeah, there's no like, oh, you
remember,
know, you're my grandfather. He doesn't even try
remember
to
in Revenge
like, play
of the
that
Sith?
Card, really.
They're at the little space opera thing, like, have you heard the tale of Darth Plagueis? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Where was that fucking smooth-talking motherfucker
but there's
to try
a relationship,
to, like, seduce you into something?
There's a relationship between Anakin Skywalker and Senator Palpatine over the movie. So it's like there's actually a connection between those characters. It's not just like, you are now in front of me in the throne room. Strike me down or your friends die. It's like...
Also, could you explain to me his plan again here? Like, he tells her when she gets there, like, I never wanted to kill you. It was always my plan to bring you here. Well, wouldn't there have been like a million better ways to do that than to send your goons to go kill her? Because they nearly succeeded on several occasions.
If they want that to happen, in The Force Awakens, she should have been like hearing those voices and never told anyone, like, Rey, come to us, Rey. There should have been some fucking thing established of like the Emperor is talking to Rey.
Well,
everything that this movie culminates in could have worked if it had been set up in the two previous films.
Exactly.
But it wasn't. J.J. Abrams started a story, Rian Johnson shit on that story, and J.J. Abrams tried to fucking slapdash, haphazardly put some kind
of resolution together. It's a puzzle.
And it's awful. And then, yeah, the puzzle pieces
do not fit.
Yeah, I mean, there's not enough time. Like, there's this one brief moment where Rey gets to see the Sith version of herself.
Which was cool, by the way.
Right. And I was like,
except the Gala moment where she goes,
yeah, when she gets the like, sharp, that was stupid. But yeah, that's another example of this movie taking a scene that I'm like, okay, and then being like, whap! It's like, oh, shame on you for liking this for a second. Because we're going to shit on it.
Yeah, let's add this ridiculous fucking embellishment to the movie that's
the worst
totally
special
unnecessary
effect of the movie, by the way.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Rey becomes Gollum briefly.
You know, if we had actually gotten a taste of Rey falling to the dark side for a little while and then coming, you know, having an arc back out of it, it would have been a way more elegant way of telling this story. It would have felt less like a car crash because it just, like, every scene seemed to dead end in another block of exposition, you know, explaining away something that I wanted to be shown.
Yeah.
What about not committing to character decisions that happen to the characters in the film? Like C-3PO, when they get the dagger and it's like, it's ancient runic Sith, but I cannot translate it. I'm forbidden to do it. It's like, well, there is a way. We'll have to bypass this and reset your memory so you'll forget everybody.
Basically, through a plot device, fucking 3PO loses his memory because they have to get something out of his brain. And then they undo that.
Yep. It's just undone. R2-D2 just goes, beep, beep, beep. Boop.
Yeah, R2-D2 kept a backup of his shit, and he's back, and he's C-3PO again. So yeah, this is even that.
There's no, they don't commit to anything. It's like if there's no consequences for that decision, then the fucking 30 minutes we spend the movie on it means nothing. You know, and they even had another trailer. I'm taking one last look at my friends.
No, apparently not a last look.
No, it's not. So it's just like, it's just another cheap moment in this movie. And then the way they killed, it's like Leia, like, I have to reach Ben.
I didn't even understand that. Like that one, they did not make that fucking land in the way it needed to, because it wasn't even Leia that showed up to do it. It was Han Solo that showed up to do it.
Yeah.
So Leia dies, basically, to fucking reach Ben one last time. And the way she does that is by staying out of the way and letting the ghost of Han Solo do all the work.
Right, which, by the way, what was that?
It was another, it felt the same as Billy Dee's performance.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, kid,
like,
how you doing?
I'm an old guy that's happy to be doing this little Star Wars thing again.
Not only that, though, but, like, I mean, he wasn't a Force ghost. He was, like, some kind of memory thing. I don't know. I don't know. It didn't work for me.
I honestly do not know. Maybe it's implied that Leia is projecting herself as Han Solo, giving him what he needs to, you know what I mean? But even in that, it's not explained, it doesn't make any sense, and it's up in the air as to whether that happened at all.
I felt like that scene where they're all gathered around Leia's body, I feel like the Star Wars movie can best described to a true Star Wars fan, in my opinion, is like awake, dude. Everyone's kind of just solemnly like, okay. And Leia is just representing all the good feelings I had about the original Star Wars trilogy. It's like, well, this sucks.
It's so weird.
We're in mourning. We're in mourning now. We're in fucking mourning for what Star Wars could have been and what it is now.
It's just so weird that she's even in the movie. I mean, just knowing how long she's been dead at this point, I'm just wondering, like, what was the context under which those scenes were shot? Because clearly this movie was not the intended vision. So they obviously took scenes from some other story and, like, really haphazardly kind of tried to make them work.
Well, the scenes, it's clear they filmed Rey. They filmed Daisy Ridley, then they filmed, they took a scene with Carrie Fisher. They made their dialogue work together, but it was clearly not, you know, there was no acting going on like that.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely worked hard to insert her into a story, and basically she does nothing. She's just there because people expected her to be there, I guess.
And then they gave her the most unceremonious fucking death of a fucking
character. She just disappears. It's stupid. It's bad. The Billy Dee performance is the same thing. It's just like, he's back, but nobody really knows why. Oh, I'll tell you why. They brought the reason Lando exists in this movie is to deliver some exposition to the heroes.
Yep.
about where this ship that they need to go is and why it's there.
And a lot of fans...
So basically he's there for the same reason every other character
And a lot of fans were like, why is there no Lando? Lando needs to come back. So they give him a little bit part in the fucking movie. He's in a couple scenes. He's kind of just like a supporting character. It's kind of like a little callback for you. Oh, it's Lando.
I mean, you're just kind of sad to see him because he just doesn't look or sound right.
He doesn't really feel like Lando anymore. And you know what I mean?
You just kind of wish you'd never seen it. You know,
I mean, and thankfully, like you guys were saying, like with Finn, I mean, if we only really talked about him much, I mean, his character, of course, just paper thin. The one thing they're going to give him is he in love with Rey? You know, they're about to, like, he thinks he's going to die, so he's going to tell her he loves her, and then, of course, they just...
It's never even explained what
it's a cop-out. They don't ever explain it. They never address it later in the movie, so it's just some plot thread that just goes nowhere.
Yeah. Finn and Rose apparently didn't work out. I was happy about that. I was happy that I didn't have to spend the time that I was cringing through Finn and Rose love plot line or some shit. So she's just... excised basically from the film. She's just in a couple of scenes. She has a line or two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's kind of given a throwaway.
So
it's
I guess that's a positive thing I can say because that plot line needed to be dumped.
And they pretty much just do that. The movie totally just takes that route because like even ask her like you're not going on this mission. Like I have to do this other thing. It's like all right, great, you're out of the movie basically.
Yep.
See you later. What about what people have come to love? And remember from Star Wars movies. I mean, obviously great characters, but what about the lightsaber battle? I mean, oh my god, what a lackluster fucking lightsaber fucking
movie. Which one? There was like 10.
Yeah,
But I'm talking about the main one. You know what I'm talking about? Rey versus Kylo Ren on the fucking, you know, basically on
the one depicted
the ruins.
In the poster here.
Yeah, right. On the ruins of the Death Star.
I mean, it's another one where, once again, the set design, you know, is chewing the scenery. I mean, because like, look, I mean, Paul mentioned it earlier when we were all kind of chatting briefly outside about this. It's like, there's some great sets in this movie. That whole ruins of the Death Star.
Yeah,
on
it's
the
cool.
Crash into Endor. Great set. The Exegol or whatever. Some of those sets were really
great
cool.
Design.
A lot of the interior sets on Imperial
Star
Destroyers.
Yeah, those
and
were
shit.
Great. So, I mean, like, sometimes the scenery literally chews the scenery in this movie. And that's just another example like that. There's no power to that fucking lightsaber duel. It's okay. I mean, it's not like terrible, but it's just,
well, to give you a point for
the
prequels, the
background is cooler than the foreground.
To give you a point for the prequels, you know, Anakin versus Obi-Wan, that is a way more impactful battle. And the way it ends,
I got to be honest with you.
Well, the thing is,
like,
too,
I would rather
the lightsaber battles
in this fucking trilogy be like the fucking prequel ones. Like, I know a lot of people are critical of the, like, John Woo, you know, wire foo kind of shit that they
did. Those are great ones. But at least
it was interesting to watch. You know, I liked most of the big lightsaber duels in the prequels. None of them rise to that.
I got to say about these, I like how in this trilogy they brought it a little bit back from that kung fu shit. But the problem with these lightsaber duels in these movies is they introduce these really interesting environments that they never do anything with.
Right.
Like, they don't use the environment around them in the fight.
Well,
one thing that makes the fucking lightsaber duel, in my mind, between, like, Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back so great is they use so many elements of the environment they're in against each other in the battle. So it justifies that this is not just a cool background. We're using this environment to our advantage, and it's about who's using this environment better in this duel. And on this, when they're battling on this thing, on this planet with these huge waves
coming at them,
they never do anything with the environment that they're in.
Well, even the Phantom Menace, which I know, you know, obviously you're not a big fan of that style of battle, but like, when they have the scenes where they're running and like there's the little shield wall comes up so they can't, then they're fighting. They have Darth Maul. They're going back and forth, even doing all that.
There
that's
was like
more
pacing
intriguing.
To the fight. It allowed tension to build in the fight, and there was like stakes. And
yeah,
it allowed the people to display skill, both of them equally, and you got this idea that they were, you know, evenly matched, and you know it had an interesting arc to it. The fights in this, you don't really get an idea if one of them's better than the other. You don't ever, you know, get an idea that they really have different styles of fighting. They just kind of
You don't feel the intensity.
Kind of bash swords against each other.
You don't feel the intensity. You don't. You just don't fucking feel it. It's not there. It's just like they're going back and forth, going through the motions. Like, you're right. It's not that, like, they're not that doing the thing where they're both, you know, right next to each other, like, they're fucking, like, you know, you don't feel that, like, the passion, like, the, you know, I want to kill you.
The whole problem I had with some of the prequel lightsaber duels is they felt so choreographed that it lost that visceralness. But these films, especially this one, they still lack the visceralness. So I'd have to agree with you that I'd rather they just did go the fucking crazy karate route, because at least that had some style to it. This is just like they bash their lightsabers against each other until one of them loses. And there's nothing to it.
Yeah.
There's no creative use in the environment. There's no, like you said, unique styles being used.
It's a cop-out win, too. Rey doesn't really even win.
Yeah.
Because basically Leia intercedes, and then Kylo Ren goes, oh, drops his fucking lightsaber, and then she stabs him.
Right.
I mean, then she heals him with her brand new healing powers.
Yet
again, established 10 minutes
ago. Not committing to what the decision they made is. Was like, okay, Kylo Ren's dead, or, you know, he's gravely injured.
No.
Space Jesus. You're fixed.
Everything's
you're good.
Fine. Dude, when I was watching that movie, and they're like, you know, Rey's trying to figure out how to get to the Death Star. I'm like, why don't you just walk on the water, bitch? Just walk on the water. Just walk on over. And
she basically does.
Yeah, when I saw that they were like, Rey's gone. I'm like, please don't be walking on the water. Please don't be walking on the water. She's riding some kind of skimmer or some kind of vehicle, but it might as well have been walking on water, man. She's Space Jesus. She can do anything.
We're told in the scene directly before she disappears and gets on the skimmer to go across the impassable ocean that it's impassable. Like, it'll literally tear a skimmer apart, but not the one Rey's driving. And not the one that Finn and the chick commandeer to go follow Rey.
Because the Force is
so just like a another pointless fucking scene that tells you nothing about anything.
You know, the movie sets, and it's a pattern in this movie. They set it up, you can't do it, it's impossible, it's too dangerous, whatever. Then they somehow make it work. Oh, we can't land on the Imperial fighter and survive. Oh, somehow we did it. Oh, and we hacked in, and now we're going to blow up the command center. Oh, we did it.
In fairness to that, that was an element of the original trilogy as well, with, like, you know, the odds of successfully navigating this asteroid field or whatever the fuck crazy odds. And you know.
But you know what? They sold that. They fucking sold it to you in a way that you believed in.
Well, they wrapped it in characters that you cared about, so it wasn't just an empty plot device. There's no reason to care about any of these people.
Not only that, you got to spend... this movie, it just feels like you're being bum-rushed from one scene to the next, and nothing is ever given time to breathe or soak in or establish an atmosphere. Or just
what are some of the reasons for that? Because one of the main reasons that I think is shown right here on the poster. There are too many people trying to be given screen time in this film.
Yeah,
it needed to be smaller, more intimate, with way more background type of characters. Star Wars had a lot of those characters that were there flying the fucking X-Wings and, you know, in the background doing the fucking work and shit. But the focus was on these core three or four personalities, with a few exceptions here and there sprinkled throughout the trilogy. Look at this poster. It's a goddamn mess. That's why there's no time to breathe. Because look, you got three droids, four droids
three.
Now.
Yeah, four, yeah.
Instead of two. So you've doubled up. You've got the old droids and you got the brand new droids. You've got horse riding chick. You've got double laser gun bounty hunter chick. You've got Lando. He's back. You got Chewie. You got to deal with him. You got Finn. You got Poe. You got Rey. You got... It's just, that's all the main characters of this film.
You got Kylo Ren, you got the Emperor, you got that Hux character that
turns out
to be a spy, and then
it's a frantic pace. It has to be the most frantic pace for a Star Wars movie you've ever seen. It's just, it goes on and on. Like The Force Awakens, we spent so much time on the planet with Rey. It's like the beginning of the movie, like we're just like, this is Rey's life.
I mean, looking at it now is admirable in the face of this movie, because this movie has nothing like that. None of the fucking locations that are well-designed and cool-looking are given a chance to establish themselves.
Do you remember, even in the previous J.J. Abrams Star Wars movie, just watching Rey...
On Jakku
scavenging that ship. And then
watching the commerce on Jakku.
Right, and then her taking the parts to the guy and trading it in and getting her food out of it and then taking it home to her place and, you know, adding whatever water or whatever to that thing that makes it fizz up into a piece of bread. And, you know,
total
subsistence
existence to, like, give you, like, an idea of this is Rey's life. This is what this character is dealing with. And this movie, it's like...
And it was shown to us, and it was allowed to sink in, and it was allowed to be, like... we got to spend time doing that. Now it's just like, this, rush, go, gotta get to the end!
And when you rush, there's no time for impact, there's no time to process, there's no time to think about it. It's just a dizzying spectacle that's more in line with a Transformers movie than a Star Wars movie.
I mean, yeah. It really does.
It kind of feels like the Michael Bay
and that's
Star
a huge
Wars
problem.
Movie.
When you walk out of a movie and you're just like, what the fuck did I just watch? And how many characters and what happened? And what do they even mean? And it's like, that's not what I expect from a Star Wars movie.
Let me ask you this. What's the theme of this movie? Right. Exactly. There isn't one.
The most shoehorned thing I can think of is just that this is Rey bringing balance to the Force.
Bad versus good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's on that level of just like cartoon.
It harkens back to episode one, which is that, you know, the prophecy. That, you know, Samuel, one will rise to bring balance to the Force. And, you know, at the end, it even shows it with a yellow lightsaber like, Rey has brought balance to the Force.
How, though?
Exactly.
How
what is the implication of that?
What does that mean? And how did she do that? And
what does it mean
now?
How
come it wasn't brought to the Force the last time you killed Palpatine? Like, did Luke bring balance to the Force? Apparently not.
Because Palpatine didn't die.
Oh, because he was alive the whole time.
Right.
Obviously.
Now, the Sith were not actually defeated. Now it's positing that the Sith are actually gone. This is it.
Sith are gone, how is that balance? If now it's just like the light side wins and the dark side is forever banished.
I'm assuming the Jedi are done too. I'm assuming that just means that the Force is like now in line, so neither are necessary. I don't know, maybe. It's not really explored. And don't you love how it takes one last shit on the original trilogy by taking us to Tatooine?
Yeah, and recreating that iconic opening shot of Star Wars with Rey taking the Skywalker name. Which one of the people we saw that with was Stevie, his family friend, Joe, who was just like, bullshit, she's a Palpatine. It's just
dude,
like, no.
I wish Rey would have just dropped her pants and just shit all over the fucking
She should have just taken
that's what the
a massive
fucking movie
diuretic shit.
Fucking did to me. It's like, you're going back to Tatooine. You're going to go back where all this fucking amazing fucking franchise started and just taking one last... Not, I mean, like, if you're going to just figuratively do it, just go literally and just have the character just shit over everything, burn the fucking place to the ground, and call it a fucking day.
I feel like, I mean, when you talk about how Ryan Johnson, to some extent, can be blamed for some of this movie.
Nah.
Because he did paint J.J. Abrams into a couple corners, but the way J.J. Abrams tried to get out of it was so bad. And look, I honestly believe...
Oh, no, it's a failure on J.J. Abrams' part.
I think an apology... I feel like I owe an apology to Rian Johnson. Because, I mean, at least your movie, as much as I didn't like it and thought that there was this crazy, needless subplot, and I think that you subverted all the wrong expectations and shit, like, at least you had a theme and tried to do something interesting with the story and you didn't fucking throw 3,000 pounds of pig shit exposition into my ears. You know, like, at least there was, like, kind of like a, you know, a theme of, like, maybe this dark side, light side shit isn't really how the universe works. Maybe there should be some gray area.
How the fuck?
Maybe we don't need to fucking hold up heroes based on lineage and that a hero can come from any part of, you know, class of life. Doesn't have to be some great fucking, you know, mythical figure to make a difference. Like, there was at least that going on for it. Now, does that work for a Star Wars movie? In my opinion, no. But at least it's something, goddammit! This movie is nothing! It's less than nothing! It pisses me off! Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. How the fuck can Disney, the same company that managed, what, 25, 30 fucking Marvel storylines that culminate with, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet saga, how can they manage all of those... have a cohesive story that in the end makes sense, has impactful characters, impactful deaths, well-established characters, character arcs. I mean, all that in three Star Wars movies, they can't even manage that.
Let me tell you something.
So, I mean, Disney as a studio had no fucking cohesive vision. So, yeah, Rian Johnson can't be fully blamed.
I do blame, to some extent, I would say, like, 2 to 3% of the blame for how bad this movie is, I would put on Rian Johnson. 15% or so I'd put on J.J. Abrams, maybe 20. But the majority I honestly put on Disney and Kathleen Kennedy, who should have been the people with an overarching goddamn vision for what this trilogy is supposed to be.
So if the director
just weren't.
So if the director is
they
like,
just let any, like, they let J.J. Abrams start a trilogy, then they let someone else throw away the script, throw away the plan, and just do their own fucking thing. It's so tonally uneven.
And what is J.J.
And then they bring
Abrams
the original
thinking?
Guy back to try to pull it out of a nosedive.
Yeah, and what is J.J. Abrams fucking thinking? Like, he fucking agrees to do Star Wars, and I'm not saying you need the same director for each one, but, like, where's the fucking cohesive vision? Like,
somebody
you said?
Has to have that, though.
Look, if you're going to do it with Marvel, they did.
If you're going to spend billions of dollars acquiring a property,
$4 billion.
$4 billion to acquire this IP, and you're going to make a new trilogy of Star Wars films, don't you fucking make sure you know exactly what you're going to do with those, or at least have a rough sketch idea of here's the first act, here's the second act, here's the third act. Maybe we'll make some tweaks and adjustments as we go, but this is the fucking plan. No. They didn't even have that.
Well,
that's insane. $4 billion to just make it up as you go along?
Well,
you fucking shitting me?
Think about this. Force Awakens. Snoke. Next movie. Oh, Last Jedi. Oh, remember the villain we set up in the other movie that no one really liked and kind of like was kind of like, is this a Count Dooku kind of villain? This is a pretty lame villain. Oh, no, never mind. He's dead. So if I want to blame Rian Johnson for anything, it's like, if they're going to kill off Snoke, who's the villain? Oh, it's the Emperor the whole time?
I mean, it's basically...
Why was the Emperor established then in the first fucking movie that the Emperor is still pulling the strings in some way?
This is basically what happened. Fucking J.J. Abrams made the first one.
Yeah.
Then Rian Johnson wadded up the script and wrote a totally different film with a totally different fucking plot line. And then J.J. Abrams came back and wadded up that script and made a totally, completely different film. So it's like an example of what TJ was saying before, just making it up as they go along.
I mean, how, with $4 billion on the line, how do you do that?
Disney just trusted.
How do you fucking do
they
that?
They trusted the directors too much.
Kathleen Kennedy, who has been in charge of this intellectual property,
should be
since
fired.
Disney acquired it, should be fucking gone.
She is an idiot, dude.
She is a fucking moron.
Well,
I mean, she has got to go.
This movie's probably going to make $1 billion.
Yeah, so she's not going anywhere.
You know what I mean?
Understand. But, man,
it's not making $1 billion because of her. It's making $1 billion because it's Star Wars.
Well, that's exactly. But that, what's easier? Just doing a cash-in film that you don't really spend a whole lot of fucking time thinking about, or actually sitting down and trying to cultivate? They don't have to anymore.
But you know what's going to happen?
We're all going to shuffle in to see all these Star Wars properties, no matter what. They know it.
After this, I don't know if I'll attend another Star Wars movie.
I don't know. I mean, it'd have to be a pretty goddamn impressive trailer.
I mean, it would have to
You'll be there.
It would have to be something fucking insane.
They start a new fucking trilogy. You'll be there. You'll watch it.
I mean, you know what? You're probably right. I mean, as much as I like this grand...
And that's my point, though.
I would like to grandstand and say, no, I won't be there.
All right, well, here... To that point, though, Star Wars The Force Awakens, Thursday previews, 57 million.
Wow.
Star Wars Last Jedi, Thursday previews, 45 million.
Yeah, pretty close.
Last night's Thursday preview, 40 million. So it's in fucking decline. With each successive movie, less people are showing up to the fucking big opening night.
I was surprised.
So that does show that interest,
dude,
they're still fucking... easily going to make
the
money
theater
hand over
we
fist.
Were at was not fucking full.
It was not.
That was a surprise to me, honestly. Like, when I saw that, like, the where they, like obviously, it was closer to the screen.
That theater was about 60 to 70% full.
Yeah.
It wasn't even full up behind us. There were big blocks of two or three seats.
When I saw The Force Awakens, there was a fucking line out the fucking door of the mall. We went to, like, the mall in Columbus. I forget the name of the mall, but, like, we had to wait outside in fucking 30-degree weather to fucking get in. To be let in, to wait in the line, to then get into the fucking theater, which you had to have your ticket and reserve seat. And that theater was fucking packed to the goddamn gills, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if around here is the biggest bastion of Star Wars fanatics. It was probably crazy at some places, but where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, look, when we saw, I've seen previous Star Wars films in this state. People in Louisiana
and it was fall.
Love Star Wars as much as anybody anywhere else. But, I mean, like, look, we went and saw The Joker. That wasn't even opening night.
No.
We all went and saw The Joker together, probably like, what, 2 or 3 days into its run or something like that, or the next day or the something like that.
Well, you and Paul went, yeah.
Yeah, it was packed.
Yeah, it was packed.
It was jam-packed. It was packed to the gills. There wasn't an empty seat in the fucking house for that movie. For this movie, there was plenty of empty seats.
I mean, and that should be disconcerting to the people making this movie more than anything. I mean, yeah, I agree with you, Paul. It'll go on to make $1 billion, and it'll still be a financial success because it's Star Wars, and kids will want to see it. And, you know, maybe at the end of the day, it's the casual people that's all they want. They just want the casual moviegoer to tune in and go, it's Star Wars, yeah, it's the big fucking spectacle movie. And Disney's content with that. And if they can make that $1 billion every time they churn out one of these dog turds,
they're going to do it.
They're going to fucking do it. Because you know what? And we're not even thinking about the reality of what these franchises are. It's a merchandise franchise. And always been. Since Lucas had that vision, and he said, you know what? Instead of that, give me the merchandising rights to it from when he made his deal with Fox. This is a multi-billion-dollar, because you can sell kids the fucking bed sheets, you can sell them the posters on the wall, you can sell them all the fucking toys, the BB-8 toy that rolls around. That's what this is really about more than anything.
Fake lightsabers.
Yeah, ooh, look at this!
Yeah, but you know what? To sell those action figures, I mean, like, it's so...
But if you're a fucking kid...
It's so reliant at this point on what the series has previously accomplished.
Yeah, but if you're a dumb little fucking kid, TJ,
yeah.
This is a fucking masterpiece, probably.
But you know what? There's so many things that have been marketed. Like, when we were kids... You know, there were shows that we watched that were just basically toy
garbage.
Sales pitches, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it's a
you
toy.
Know?
But not
for
a...
every one of those shows that captured the kids' imagination and sold the fucking toys, there was about 1 million attempts that didn't sell jack shit for toys because they just didn't connect. You still have to have that authentic human fucking connection to sell that merch. You have to get people to give a fuck about the characters to sell the fucking merchandise. Now, Star Wars, it's got something built in, but this does not help. These films do not help the fucking brand. They fucking hurt it.
I mean, at the end of the day, financially, I don't know. I don't know if you're right.
The fucking
I would like to say that you're right.
From the fucking Force Awakens worldwide box office $2 billion. Fucking Rise of not Rise of Skywalker, we don't know that yet. But Last Jedi, $1.3 billion.
Yeah,
still huge,
but
a pretty significant fucking drop off. And I suspect that this one is going to make less than The Last Jedi, and that's not feeling good for Disney that spent $4 billion to acquire this property.
But you know what
they
Disney
want
will do?
That $2 billion fucking hit every goddamn time.
But you know what Disney will do next time? They'll go, oh, okay, well, now there's a new saga, a new trilogy.
Well, no, they will. Disney has already said that they're not doing this saga shit anymore. They're going to do standalone shit that if it's popular, they can make a sequel to it, but if it's not, they don't have to. So that's their new Star Wars strategy.
I mean, maybe that's true, and maybe that's a better way to go about it. I don't know, though.
There might be a period of that, but I can almost fucking guarantee.
I mean, I may not
live to fucking see it, but at some point they're gonna be like a new saga, dun 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 dun,
because right,
episode 10.
Well, you know, because you know what, they're smart because they're gonna realize like, look, let's give it like 10 years or something.
It was always meant to be a 12-part series.
And, you know, I mean, a lot of times with these movies, and especially with these kind of franchise movies, time does nothing but give people more nostalgia. Like, the kids that are growing up with these movies, now, obviously, we're looking at the lens of people that grew up with the original Star Wars movies.
Right.
So, like,
people who grew up with the prequels are way more likely
defenders
to defend
of
those.
That. And the same thing with this. You
so
might
you
not...
think that the kids who grew up with this are going to be way more likely to defend these movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And then they're going to make some new fucking... trilogy is probably gonna be
because
awful, and then the kids who grew up with this
there's something
are gonna
override...
defend this as being way better
everyone,
than the next fucking trilogy.
Everyone that's a big consumer of like this kind of like, you know, pop culture kind of, oh, I love fucking sci-fi, I love this and that. There's a there's something in their brain that's gonna, there's a nostalgia button that can override whether something's good or not.
You know?
It's like you're just like, you know, because you have a feeling. It has such a strong emotional connection.
Well, that's
to
how
us.
They've got us. They've got the kids on the fact that it's filled with these colorful characters that shoot
lasers.
You know what I mean? And it's got the parents of those kids who are in our age group who grew up with the originals or at least the prequels.
And they want to show their kids a new Star Wars.
Right, and they want to, you know, they want to give their kids that magic feeling of, you know, their own little Star Wars thing. And they want to have that nostalgia button pushed.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, why they've got a continuous loop of money making here.
I got to say this. When I went and saw The Force Awakens and that Star Wars... Well, I should go back to The Phantom Menace. Because when I went and saw The Phantom Menace theaters and the Star Wars thing appeared
and you see the crawl
and all that, it's like, wow, it was such a surge of emotion.
Yeah.
And then with each successive film, it's gotten less and less and less.
Impactful.
To where this one, I was just like,
dude,
I don't even feel anything anymore for this.
When I saw...
When they were doing the end scene where they were supposed to be this big touching moment where all the Jedi from the past movies... had a little thing where she looks at the stars and they all talk to her and stuff. I'm just like, I hope all those motherfuckers are roasting in Jedi hell right now. I don't give a fuck. I hope Yoda is fucking getting a corn cob shoved up his ass. I hope Qui-Gon Jinn is getting ear raped. I mean, I just hope they're all suffering and horrible and in pain because I have such contempt for them at this point. When I saw Han Solo, I was just like, fuck Han Solo. When I saw Princess Leia, I was like, fuck Princess Leia. When Luke force ghosted, which, by the way, was a terrible special effect, I was just like, man, fuck you too, Luke. Get lost.
When I was
fuck all these characters I used to love. I don't even want this Star Wars shit anymore. It's just pain for me now.
Did I remember?
It's broken my heart too many times. I don't even want to look at it.
I remember when I was 11, dude, and we went to see The Phantom Menace. I was just like, and that crawl came up, man. It was like, oh, my God. We get a fucking Star Wars movie now. It's
it's our Star Wars.
We get a fucking Star Wars movie. Yes! 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 And you're right. By the time this one happens, you know, you get the boom, da-da-da, you know, you get the fucking theme playing, you get the crawl, the dead speak and stuff. You're just like, the fuck is this?
Well, I remember going to see The Phantom Menace, and people literally broke out into a standing ovation when the Lucasfilms logo came up.
Right.
Can you blame
them? It was that crazy.
I mean, people were screaming in the theater when Lucasfilms came up on the screen. You know what I mean?
Because it was like a dream come true, and because we've been raised on the tales of the prequels.
This theater was just silent during all of that.
There was a few people who, at the end, who clapped.
Oh. Yeah, there were like three or four people in the theater that clapped. There was a couple of, at least one dude that was guffawing at every horrible joke. Did you hear him?
Yeah, no. I did.
Like 3PO would make some horrible joke, and there was one dude. You know what I mean?
So I would like to talk about the crowd of the theater. Okay, so dude.
Oh, Scotty's going to get mean.
Sweaties.
If you guys thought we're a bunch of fat fucks, dude, we look like svelte, like dude, Greek gods, like Adonis.
There was a guy,
dude.
Let me just say this. There was a guy that went through that theater that even if I
was,
at my
was weight, Jabba there?
If I was considered, Scotty, listen. If I was considered skinny, like if my body type was considered skinny, this dude would still be hugely fat.
Yeah.
He
was blubba gumptious.
Oh, my
God.
I
briefly whispered to you guys what I saw occur. So, basically, this, like, really fat woman comes down to, like, I need to speak to a manager. And I'm like, I'm going to hang around here for see what this is about because I'm just a little nosy fuck. Me and my son, our chairs are broken. This chair will not recline. Then I looked at them. I was sort of like, oh, my God. No wonder the chair wouldn't fucking recline. Like, they're like, oh, maybe we can reaccommodate you and move you to another spot. There are people so fat. It was the ones with the reclining chairs that they literally broke the recliners, dude.
Nice.
They broke the. I don't even know how the fuck you break. It might have been that dude, TJ, because, like, there were some heavies in there. There were some heavies.
Yeah, there were some heavyweight champs.
There were some people pushing 500-600 pounds in that fucking theater, man.
These guys, their heavy breathing sinks to the Star Wars music and shit.
So that kind of felt nice. Your self-esteem kind of went up, you know, being in the theater. I was like, man, I'm a little fat. Then you see that, be like, man, I'm skinny. Fuck, dude, I'm doing good. You know, I'm doing
I
well.
Said something to TJ about that. I was like, dude, I'm such a terrible, because that dude walked by us. He was in our row.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm such a bad fat person, because like I see a dude like that, and I'm like, what a fat fuck. You know what I mean? And I'm a fat fuck too.
Dude, yeah, the sweat,
less fat.
The sweaties were out in full force.
Oh yeah,
dude.
They were.
I mean, it was always about 60-70.
We had that uncomfortable moment right after the movie too, where we're all kind of congregating in front of the theater, and that old lady was like, "Did y'all like it?" We're like, all of us were like, no, not really. She was like, I liked it better than the previous two, though. And I was like,
Oh, dude, it was so awkward. We're trying not to shit all over it, because we're like, yeah, you know, it's a movie. It's a film. You know, things happened in it.
I don't know why. People always seem to find some reason to excuse the final part of the shitty Star Wars trilogy. You know what I mean? Because they did the same thing with Revenge of the Sith, where they're like, well, Revenge of the Sith isn't so bad, you know? And I feel like this, they're going to do the same thing with this. Well, Rise of Skywalker,
you know,
cool stuff.
With a lot of these things.
It didn't. I mean, well, no, that's not true. It did. But blink and you'll miss them, so.
It's the law of diminishing returns, which, you know, within some franchises, like I said, the Avengers, you know, I don't think it was the law of diminishing returns. But this one, it clearly was. The first one's the best one. The second one is, this is getting worse. And then by the time we hit this one, even Rotten Tomatoes, even looking at the critical consensus, it's pretty much just like, eh. It's just a frenetically,
you know, you guys
poorly
are gonna get it, dude. They may be saying they're not doing another saga, but at some point you're gonna be sitting in a fucking movie theater and see a trailer.
The Legend Returns.
It's gonna be a black screen, and it's gonna be like, with the passage of time, sometimes a new balance must arise. A new saga for a new generation. You know it's gonna happen.
Oh, I know.
So,
and my dumbass will be right there opening night to go, this movie sucks. This movie sucks.
I think one of the things.
So let me ask you guys. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of the reasons I know I'll come back and watch that if it happens is because I feel like there's promise in the concept. Beyond all the nostalgia, I see what has been established in these movies as something that could make a really fucking cool movie.
As much as I, like I said, I don't really have, like, at least these right now, I'm really pissed at Star Wars. But, you know, I mean, I'm watching the show The Mandalorian on Disney Plus and shit, and I like that show.
Go back to making...
So there's really, I mean, I'm obviously there's something in the Star Wars universe that's going to keep me coming back, even though I've hated more shit from it than I've liked at this point, which is a sad fucking
Dude,
state of affairs.
Go back to the fucking characters, man. Go back and make interesting characters and focus on them and make it more intimate and really have a focus.
So let me ask you guys this. Like, I want to talk, speaking of characters, can we talk about Rey as a protagonist throughout these films for a second?
No, we can't. You know why?
Because there's nothing there.
Right. Yeah. There's like I'm dead serious. I have nothing to say about Rey.
What could you? I mean, like, let me ask you this: what could be done?
I mean, all right, what's my budget? Can I just retcon the whole fucking thing?
Hey, I found Rey, guys.
Yeah,
I found Rey.
No, yeah, I just want to know, like,
here's Rey. You like her?
What kind of character attributes could she have been hypothetically given to make her a character?
A real struggle. Like a real genuine struggle in her between her evil impulses and good impulse. If you're going to stick with the same storyline that she's Palpatine's granddaughter,
right? I mean, I'm assuming
they could have established
where's her soul being torn apart.
A genuine, let her do some bad shit. Let her have something to atone for. Give her flaws like that. Really, honestly, like that is one of the problems with Rey, as I see her, is that she's not a flawed character.
I mean, everyone calls it. She's a Mary Sue.
And flawed characters are interesting characters.
Does she ever have any real struggle throughout any of these fucking movies?
Not really. Not one that's sold by any kind of character development. Like, she's crying at certain points in this last film, and I'm like, why? Over what?
Yeah, everything's going to work out for you. It always does. What's the best? Is there...
Like I said, there's no temptation. They don't work the familial angle with the Emperor. Like, and that's something that should have been established. And though maybe very subtly in The Force Awakens, and then turn up the fucking heat in The Last Jedi, and then have it culminate here.
I mean, going into these movies, I wanted my expectations defied.
Yes.
And they weren't
As
even
should.
Met. Like, I didn't even get my expectations met, much less defied by any of the characters that were developed in this series. Finn is another one. It's like, I don't give a fuck about Finn. And that's sad because I think he had the most interesting backstory and intro.
Yeah, he did.
In the original film.
The Stormtrooper.
They could have done something with Finn, but Finn is just basically the other half of Han Solo now. Han Solo has been split into two characters. One is Finn, and one is Poe. And that's what he is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just interchangeable. They even banter with one another like each other. They're almost indistinguishable from one another in terms of their tone. And
one
their...
is black.
All right.
That's about it. I do want to also point out that Kylo Ren, this arc, as much as I do think he has the most of a most like defined arc throughout these fucking movies, this whole thing with him and his strong admiration of his grandfather, you know, Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker, that never really culminates in anything.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It never amounts to anything. He's the fucking, it never comes to any sort of resolution.
He's just the poor man's Darth Vader, dude.
I mean, how about this? Instead of him talking to his father, who I understand that to an extent, why don't you fucking bring fucking Anakin Skywalker's Force ghost to fucking tell him the real deal about, like, look, I fucked with that dark side shit. I went down that path, and here's why it's fucked up and wrong. You know?
Yeah.
Because that's the character that could most teach him that fucking lesson. And I understand maybe not wanting to bring Hayden Christensen back, but whatever. It would have been a better character for that moment,
yeah,
honestly.
Have him look at that fucking helmet. Because
that's
the
character he's always admired. You know? Like, give him the real skinny on it. Give him the real skinny on what the fuck happened in that moment and why the dark side is not a good path. You know, do a little fucking, you know, drug PSA fucking thing with
dude,
him.
And I feel like so strong in this film. Wanted
dark
to be,
side, not even once.
Dude, this film wanted to be Return of the Jedi. The Ewok, the little Ewok at the end fucking gave me that fucking hint. I'm like, oh, they just really wanted to make a fucking updated version of Return of the
Jedi. Well, that makes sense because J.J. Abrams' first attempt at making one of these movies was just to remake A New Hope.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like it was so derivative, and, you know, ultimately, it was so similar. Like you said, Kylo Ren looks up to Darth Vader, and what does he do? He ends up giving his life to save Rey at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely had strong, like, I think that could have been done, though. Like, I don't blame the problems in this movie on the attempt to just retell the same story. That's actually an interesting device, that this struggle just happens over and over and over again in the galaxy, and it has to happen. That doesn't ruin this for me. What ruins it for me is that by the time we get to this end one, we're just so piled with characters. And they have the effrontery. They already have too many characters here. And they add more. They try and sprinkle more characters in at the 11th hour. There's just so many of these people that there wasn't time to develop any of them. I'm not even that big of an apologist for the Kylo Ren character. I think that, you know, maybe I think more positively about him because he's given a little bit more fucking care. But
I mean,
in terms
like,
of a memorable
really like
character,
character, I just think that they, I mean, I just think he has a little bit more of an arc than the fucking heroes.
He does.
Do.
No, he does. But that doesn't save him in the
absolutely
fucking grand
not
scheme of things.
No.
He's just as uninteresting as the rest of these fucking lot. He was just given a little bit more room to breathe than they were. If you'd given Finn the same treatment, we'd probably be saying the same thing about him. It's just like, there's nothing standout about him. And that's true of everything in this movie. All the characters.
Well, when you can't...
How about that LGBTQ...
When you can't...
PIT representation,
dude,
though,
but when
huh?
you can't sit on a fucking scene for longer than 3 minutes, you're not going to have a great movie. You're not going to establish anything. You're just going to fucking... Okay, we're here now. Okay, we're here now. Okay, we're here now. Okay, we're like... If that's what the movie you're making is, you're just never going to have an impact. You're never going to feel.
There is a literal 1.5 second lesbian kiss at the end of this film.
Oh, such a throwaway fucking scene.
And
they literally, like, articles have come out being like, history making. Like, what history? History of what?
Yeah.
There have been gay
women kissing
in movies
on film?
Yeah, that's not a new thing anymore.
It's happened plenty of times.
And it's literally a second and a half.
And it's literally been cut out of the versions of the movies
right.
released in China and the Middle East and other places where it would be offensive.
It takes place between two characters that are not even there. They're not even named. They're not characters that are presented in any way that's memorable.
No.
They're just people that you've seen hanging around in a couple of scenes. And at the end, there's a 1.5 second kiss that, like TJ said, can easily be excised from the Arabic version of this film and the fucking Chinese version of this film. And like, I don't understand why LGBTQ people should be flipping over themselves over what is ultimately just like using them.
Yeah, just like to reduces- score some to score a few woke points in America. By the way, it didn't even work. The SJWs on Twitter that I've seen have seen right through it, and they're just like, this good. Is a fucking insult.
Well, you know what, dude?
It's
good
ridiculous.
On them.
Fuck you. This we're not going to fucking... We're supposed to piss our pants in glee over this?
It just reduces...
Because you showed a two-second kiss?
It reduces lesbian or bisexual women to just kissing. That's what it is. They smooch each other.
How about Finn and Poe fucking kiss at the end of the movie and realize, like, we're the same fucking character anyway. We might yeah. as well fucking make out.
They go to the fucking Millennium Falcon. You see the Falcon rocking, dude.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
They gave off gay vibes to a lot of people anyway. Fucking
yeah,
have
them
kiss.
Yeah, let them have everything, dude. They just defeated the Empire. Fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Little victory bone.
How about Poe getting cucked over and over again by the new bounty hunter chick?
Yeah, there you go.
That would definitely, you know, had strong Han Solo vibes there. Great, good looking out there. He literally, like, asked, can I kiss you? She's like, no.
Nope.
All right. Okay, then,
okay.
Bye.
And then it kind of comes back at the end. He gives her a look, and she's like, no, again.
Yeah,
wow.
The fucking badass, you know, I love you.
That's
I know.
Female empowerment right there, gentlemen.
Yeah.
At the expense of a character.
At the expense of fucking, I mean, nothing. They just nothing ventured, nothing gained. It's just like, by the way, throw two lesbians kissing in there for like a second so we can claim we did some gay shit. People love that gay shit. You know how it is. It's just so crass. So empty, no actual character given, you know, could have turned out that after all this time, Chewbacca was gay or some shit.
Yeah.
You know, C-3PO and fucking R2-D2, maybe they should have had a little romance. People have always speculated those two were fucking gay.
Have like a fucking...
Beep, 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 beep. Yes, R2, I love you.
Have R2's little fucking articulating arm come out and plug into fucking 3PO's
yeah.
crotch.
Yeah.
Ah, my friend.
Damn, dude.
Is there anything else to say about it?
No.
Are we done here?
Oh yeah, the conceit of them having horses riding on a fucking Star Destroyer.
Oh my god.
Was retarded.
Every time I think we're done. No. So you know what? That was another one of those scenes for me where it was like, oh shit, they're landing on top of the Star Destroyer. This could be cool. And then they're riding their fucking horses on it. And I'm like, Ewoks all over again, goddammit.
You don't beat the
Empire with fucking Ewoks.
Remember, they're like...
And you don't ride horses on a fucking Star Destroyer, goddammit.
They're like, disable their speeders. They're like...
They're not on speeders. Cut to them on fucking horseback or whatever space horse bullshit. Ugh.
It was terrible.
And I'm just
really
like,
bad.
I'm like, okay, if you're on this ship, what's your next order? Go like this.
Yeah, tip the ship.
Tip the ship.
And you have to remember, too, because remember, like, obviously in The Last Jedi, it's all like, we called for help and no one came. And in this one, remember, like, they send their coordinates out, and then literally it's like, the Empire's always like, the Empire's got the advantage. And then they have the fucking, this grand spectacle of the largest fucking Star Wars fleet you could ever fucking imagine, which they hold on for like half a second.
You know, that's another thing, honestly, I don't know whether I'm more pissed about this movie for it or the previous movies. Because it just seems like one of the things that always kind of bothered me about Star Wars, and I guess I'm glad this movie addressed it. I'm sad that it's this movie that finally did. There's this horrible galactic empire that's like pure evil and only like a ragtag group of teenagers is willing to fucking stand up to it in the entire fucking galaxy. No one else will fucking do or say shit about it, no matter what they do, no matter what planets they blow up or anything. It's just like, meh. So this movie, finally, the galaxy gets up off its ass.
Like, you know what?
And fights for itself. So that's kind of neat,
but
I guess.
But it makes no sense. They show up with this ginormous, overwhelming force, and
yeah.
It's just like, these guys were never a threat in the first place.
Yeah, it's like... Why did the galaxy never do this before?
If the galaxy had this in its back pocket, where it's like the fleet to end all fleets, where like the Emperor is like the final force,
and they literally never thought of this. What gets them all there? Lando and Chewie riding around in the Millennium Falcon, broadcasting like, "Hey, everybody, let's fight the fucking Empire."
Yeah, that's no one ever thought of that before.
Like, why didn't you do that fucking three movies ago? If you had this overwhelming force, like in the first movies, the rebels were outclassed. Like, you have this sense that the fucking, you know, the Empire was, you know, had them fucking outmanned and outgunned. In this movie, apparently, they never did.
No.
They have an overwhelming force of ships show up to take down this overwhelming force of Star Destroyers.
Yeah, it's a fucking slaughter, dude. At that point, it's just like, you know what we didn't mention? When the Emperor gets his powers back and he just disables the fleet, essentially.
Which went nowhere.
All right, so
he shoots force lightning up at the entire fucking fleet in the sky.
Looked cool. Well, that was actually pretty cool. I was like, damn, he's using the...
It looked cool, but what did it do?
Nothing.
He disabled them for like 2 seconds.
It froze time for exposition is what it did.
And here's another thing about it. So he's got these... The Emperor goes back to full power. He uses his force lightning to disable literally every ship in the fucking fleet that's opposing him. And then he turns his force powers on Rey... And blasts at her, and she just blocks it with a lightsaber.
Bing.
So wait, it could disable the entire fleet of ships, but one lightsaber could take it down. And then,
but remember, TJ, all
he starts to overwhelm her.
But all the Jedi are with her, though.
Then she gets her. Yeah, but if all the Jedi are with her, why couldn't she do something other than just, I have a lightsaber like anyone could have?
Yeah.
And then she has two lightsabers.
That to me is a total...
Woo!
And then doing the fucking recycling...
We know she has force lightning. Why didn't she use her lightning against his lightning? And like, a big lightning battle happens.
And fuck that, dude. Like, they just recycled... The Emperor's Death is just a recycled thing they did from the prequels, where he's fighting Mace Windu, and it's like...
And it was you know what else it was recycled from? Was, like you said, the Voldemort thing.
Yeah.
Because he pretty much dies the same way Voldemort does. His own spell backfires against him, and he's like, ah!
Yeah, I would like... Rey should have fucking actually defeated the Emperor.
Oh, by the way, I fucking loved that sarcasm. I loved how Kylo Ren goes to the ex-glooble-blobble planet of the Sith, there's just like a big fucking tank full of Snokes. Like, yeah, I just keep these lying around. Snoke, that wasn't shit.
Snoke ain't nothing.
I print Snokes, motherfucker.
Hey, look, do you want a Snoke? Buy one, get one free? You know, what the fuck is that?
I got six Snokes running around the galaxy right now causing havoc. Don't worry about that.
I mean, so Snoke is made even lesser by the... God, dude.
It's like you guys thought Snoke was something? Mm-mm. It was all...
I fucking shit out Snokes.
I print Snokes for a living, man.
I want another Snoke? I got a Snoke.
Buy one Snoke, get another Snoke free.
Of equal or lesser value. It's like, come on, dude. I don't really know what else to say. I'm just traumatized. I'm disappointed. But I agree with you. I'm not gonna grandstand and say I'll never see another Star Wars movie, because I probably will.
No, I'll go and see the new fucking saga when it comes out, but I'm bored. I was just bored by this movie. It bored me. I couldn't even bring myself to write a review of this movie because I don't know. I was just bored by it. So.
Well, TJ, anything else you want to say?
There probably is, but I mean.
Yeah, as of right now, I don't know.
I've been seething in my hatred of it. I couldn't sleep last night because I was just laying in bed hating this movie.
Can't sleep.
I mean,
can't,
like, it really, it's a painful fucking movie-going experience. It just hurt me. I mean, like, it really fucking, it just felt like a gut punch. My expectations were low going in, but they were just, like, it was so much worse than I ever could have fucking anticipated or imagined. I think it's easily the worst of these fucking movies. I mean,
as you said, in your mind, it actually moves this trilogy to the worst.
Yeah, I mean, like, I still overall think that, like, movie for movie, the sequel movies have some better shit than the prequels, but like, as an looking at it in an overarching trilogy sense, I think this trilogy is worse. But I mean, like, I feel like in terms of like the pain I feel watching this, the only thing I could even compare it to is either The Phantom Menace or the Star Wars Holiday Special, and I don't know which of the three is the worst, but they're all on that level of just
they're
like
all horrible.
Pure pain to watch. I did not like this movie. The things I do like about this movie were squandered in such an insulting way that they're actually detracting factors at that point. I could not recommend it to anyone. I know people are going to go see it anyway just because of the need for completion and the fact that they're already so invested in the Star Wars universe and stuff. But I couldn't recommend it to anybody. And I think if you can possibly find the strength within yourself to resist watching it, just don't.
Fight the dark side, man. Don't see this movie. Just don't do it.
Go see it.
All right, well, or go see it, which you probably will. You're not going to listen to us. You're going to go see it.
Big Bad Fight. Big Bad Fight. Big Bad Fight. Big Bad Fight.